Blog Talk Radio.
And our season is yours. And in Pokapa, you are calling for life out of the darkness, out of the ashes. Hey, you don't need a man to be the God you are. Hey, you have chosen.
You're not blue, child.
We call you worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of the praise.
Yeah. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this day that you have allowed us to enter into your presence, O God. We recognize that you are God all by yourself. You don't need a man to declare who you are, for you are God all by yourself. And we praise you and we glorify you, O God, for allowing us to go into New Orleans, Louisiana, Slidell, Mississippi, and come back here safe. And Lord, we know that you are still working out things, O God, because you are the God all by yourself. Father, we ask today that you would use my tongue, use my eyes and my ears of clay. And Father, allow me to speak your word to glorify your name. Let every word that I release today bring honor and glory to your name. We ask, Father God, for you to move the only way that you can move, by your spirit. And we ask that you touch all those under the sound of my voice, those that are listening by way of tablets, cell phones, Android system, computer systems. Lord, we ask that you touch them today. And Father, we pray, God, that you allow this message to go forth with clarity, O God, in the spirit, O God, as we glorify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. This morning, we want to talk to you a little bit. We are trying to get back in the groove. We've been gone for a little bit. We had to rush back here because family members are sick. And we had to get back here to take care of them. So, but we are excited and we are delighted because God was always in charge of what we are doing. Now this morning, the Lord pleased to declare this word to us today. He will talk to you briefly on this subject matter, doing what Jesus says. Very simple topic, doing what Jesus says. And here in the book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, Jesus says, "For I say unto you that heaven and earth till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all the be fulfilled." Jesus made a very profound statement here. You can say that he is just laying this thing on the table. We are living in a world where all of these leaders that are teaching the gospel are telling you that we're no longer under the law, but we're under grace. Well, Jesus says that this word has got to be fulfilled. And we know that it's not fulfilled yet. Yes, Jesus came and Jesus did what only he can do. But the law still stands because Jesus says not one word, not one word. Hallelujah. Jesus is speaking to us. Hallelujah. We must listen to what Jesus say. We must hear what he says to the church. And then we must obey what he say to do. He says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Now Jesus says, now if you go on and tell people, like some of the people are saying, now you don't have to worry about the law anymore because when Jesus comes, he fulfilled the law. Jesus said he didn't come to dismiss the law or abolish the law, but he come to fulfill the law. He did, he honored everything that's in the law. And if Jesus, the Son of God, came and honored the law, we have to honor the law too. The law still stands. What God said yesterday is the same today, and it will be the same tomorrow because he doesn't change. Now, the Bible says, he says, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." He said, now, see, the Pharisees had the law, and they tried to force the law on people, but they weren't keeping the law themselves. Like today, we have people in the house of the law would tell you, well, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But they themselves don't do it. What they want you to do, what they want me to do, what they want us to do, what they want the body of Christ, the believers to do, they don't do. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they do all the things that they know they should do. But then they try to hold you in bondage, put you in bondage, tell you not to. Well, I come to the conclusion that if I tell you not to do something, that I am going to make sure my utmost ask God to help me not to do it. Why? Because I want to And I will try to set an example for those that are close to me. For everyone that get to know me, they will say, well, so be it, and so be it. He is who he said he is. Well, you know, we were in Louisiana, and God, the Holy Spirit touched all of us. Every single one of us. Not one person escaped the touch of the Lord. I mean, what a powerful, powerful move of God. Not one person could say, well, you know, I came in the service and everybody was getting touch and I didn't get touch. Everybody got touch. That showed what a loving God he is. He's no respecter person. He didn't pick up this body, leave that body, or pick up that body, leave the next person. He touched everyone. Everyone that had touch at the time that he wanted to touch them. What an awesome, mighty God we serve. We just thanking God. Here, the letter of the law that the Pharisees tried to keep was not enough, especially for us. We have to exceed the letter of the law. Here, Jesus was so specific about the continuance of the law from the old covenant to the new that he referred to the smallest punctuation and pronunciation marks contained in the written law, the jot and tittle. Most modern theology describes the letter in favor of the Spirit, but one extreme is as bad as the other. The true Christian needs both the written letter of the law as well as its Spirit to keep it properly. To keep God's law properly, we have to learn to recognize the Spirit of the law. The Spirit of the law means God's original intent or purpose behind each law. In other words, we need God to instruct us, to lead us when we are focusing on God's word. Because the whole word is God's law. From Genesis to Revelation is God's law. We like to pick and choose what we want to. We say, well, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to look at this because it sounds good or looks good. But all the rest, we say, well, I'm not concerned with that over there because that's what I want to do. And the things that God said not to do, we don't want to look at. We don't want to examine everything that God says and does has a reason, has a purpose. And he said, if we do good, we will get good. If we do well, we shall be rewarded. That's what God says. So if we do bad, I mean, you got to say vice versa. If we do bad, wouldn't we get the same, get punished for what we do wrong? It's just like when our kids is acting good, we want to take them to the ice cream parlor. We want to take them to the movies. We want to take them out to the park. We want to take them to the beach. But when they don't do good, no, we don't want to reward them. Well, it's the same. If we do well, God will reward us because he says so. Now, when God designed the Sabbath, for example, he intended it to be a blessing to human beings. He designed it to be a refreshing rest and an opportunity both to recuperate physically after 6 days of work and to draw close to him in love and to worship him, as well as to deeply love for the brethren through fellowship and outgoing concerns. Jesus knew the spirit of the Sabbath commandment. Therefore, he knew that the split second of divine effort involved in healing was a valid use of time on the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 10 to 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 10 to 12 says, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might accuse him? Now, you see, these Pharisees, the scribes and the priests that will always tempt Jesus. Do you know that when we are doing the work of the kingdom, that people are going to test us, folk are going to want us, test us with having a drink, having a smoke, having sex, doing all of these things, you know, contrary to the law. Why? Because they don't want us to keep the law. They don't want us to keep the Sabbath day. In other words, they don't want us to obey God. Hallelujah. Many will argue with you and say it's not so much about the Sabbath day because you can worship him any day. And we know you can worship it any day, 7 days a week. But God says, no, I want you to work 6 days and rest the Sabbath. And the Sabbath begins from Friday at sunset. That begins the Sabbath day. Now, continue in Matthew chapter 12. Verse 11 says, and he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Jesus asked the question. Because they don't want Jesus to heal this man. But Jesus realized that he told him in the text that man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. So why are you going to put man in bondage? There were certain things that God allowed from in the book of Leviticus, from Genesis to Revelation, you can see it. God has allowed something that we can do that is spiritual to help each other on the Sabbath. But working to make money or so on, God does not want us to do. He said we can make the money that we need to pay our bills and so on. 6 days is enough time to make the money. You know, some people say, well, I can make more money on Saturday. I make time and a half or two times as much as I make on Friday. So they will go after the money. And this is a trap that the devil set. Because the devil would have these people paying us three times as much as we make on one day so that we don't have to honor God. Now, so he says, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Jesus says, it is lawful to do well. So if you're doing something that is helping the brother or the sister in Christ, the church, the body of Christ, it is lawful. Now, you see here, they are trying their utmost best to trap Jesus. But you can't drop the one that knows it all. These men have knowledge of the word. But Jesus is the word. You understand? So Jesus begins to teach them about the Sabbath. The way that the Jews kept the Sabbath is in Christ's time, one would have an awfully hard time calling the Sabbath a delight in their zeal. They had made a tremendous burden of it. They did it in a good attitude to ensure that people did not break it. But they ended up making the day a burden. People were afraid almost to turn around or to do anything that might require a little bit of labor or taught for fear that they would break the Sabbath. Now, we can only delight in things that we hold to be good, valuable, and do well. The Old Testament places a great deal of emphasis on not working. God, however, is not concerned about the energy we expend as much as he is about why it is being expended. What is the motivation behind what we are doing?
If one is called upon to put out his neighbor's burning house on the Sabbath, he would actually be breaking the laws of God not to help that person, even though it might take him all day long to help save the house, furniture, or other possessions. The motivation is what God is concerned about. In other words, if you see somebody in dire need, you as a believer, it's the Sabbath day, you need to help them. You see somebody trying to move in some furniture into a house, or the car's broken down on the highway. You're driving by. You say, what am I going to do? I can't push the car. I can't help the person because it's the Sabbath day. But God said that's a good thing to do. The Hebrews word translated here as rested is the verb Shabbat, from which comes the noun form that is rendered in English as Sabbath. Interestingly, the primary meaning of this word is not rest in terms of relaxing or rejuvenating, but to desist from exertion or to cease. This makes perfect sense, considering that God does not get tired. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. In Genesis chapter 2 states that at the end of creation week, God stopped his physical labor, not because he was tired, not because he was but because he was setting an example for us. Furthermore, God blessed this specific day of the week and sanctified it. He set it apart for a specific purpose, just as God deliberately sets apart or sanctified those people with whom he is working. He purposefully made the seventh day different from the other six. Thus, not only did God create the Sabbath day, and thus it belongs to him, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, Mark chapter 2, verse 28. But he also made it separate and distinct from the other 6 days. So how can we think that this day belongs to us? There is not a single second of this sanctified time that we have authority over. This day is not our day, not for our work, our sports, or our entertainment. It still belongs fully to God, and only he can dictate its right and proper uses. It is not that we have no part in this day. On the contrary, the Sabbath day is the most important day of the week for us as Christians because it enhances our relationship with God the most. Then when we tithe, we decide whether we are going to tithe by choosing whether or not we will submit to God and follow his way. Once we make the decision to follow God, we give up all claims to the money God requires of us. If we start deciding that money is ours to use, we also choose not to submit to God. Similarly, once we decide to follow God, we give up all prior claims to the 24 period of the Sabbath, the 24-hour period of the Sabbath. To the extent that God requires us to monitor our speech and even our thoughts, Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13 to 14. We recognize that God has given us a stewardship responsibility in using the money and material possessions he had provided us. And correspondingly, we have a stewardship responsibility over his holy time and its proper use. The Sabbath is not our time. It may belong to God, but he entrusts us with the responsibility to keep it righteously. We had better handle it with care. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, a tree. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Now, here, the Bible says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, because God rested after 6 days of labor, the Sabbath is also our day of rest and a memorial of creation. He wants us to remember not only what he did in the physical creation, but also that his spiritual creation continues in us now. When God blessed and sanctified the seventh day, he made it holy, set it apart for God's use. Only God can make a day holy, and he does this by putting himself through his spirit into it. We are then instructed to keep it holy. Various scriptures give examples of things God prohibits on his Sabbath: working, cooking, carrying burdens. God does not make a comprehensive list of do's and don'ts for us to follow. Instead, he gives us principles of what is proper and improper Sabbath behavior. And we then must use God's spirit to decide our actions. On the Sabbath day of the creation, God rested, Genesis chapter 2 and 3. He blessed it, made it special, and sanctified it, set it apart as holy. This was not for his own benefit, but for the benefit of all mankind. Jesus clearly says in Mark chapter 2 and 27 that the Sabbath was made for man. God rested on it, blessed it, and sanctified it all for mankind. Some say that God did all these things on and with the Sabbath, and yet did not tell his people how to keep and use the day. Although the details are not recorded, there can be little doubt that God would have instructed Adam and Eve, his first human children, in how to keep his Sabbath holy. Those simple instructions were later repeated by Moses, Isaiah, of course, by Jesus Christ. Moses, under God's direction, stated that we are to rest on the Sabbath day because God did. God's people are to follow his example in how he kept it. God clearly blessed it and sanctified the seventh day at creation and made a special point of making it very plain to his people that he had done these things. It is illogical to believe that he would secretly remove his blessing and sanctification from the day before clearly and plainly telling his people. And not such statement exists The Bible says the seventh day is still blessed, sanctified, and to be rested upon. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 23, God has commanded that we do our heavy cooking, roasting, baking, boiling, broiling on the day before the Sabbath. The command to do this is clear. It is interesting that to think about how frequently men think that what God says does not really apply to them or that it does not matter. What they are doing is presuming to add or subtract from his word. God said that he was going to give Israel a test in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. The test dealt with keeping the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. He wanted to see whether they would obey him. He then commanded them to prepare for it so that they could pass the test. Does God mean what he says? He is serious enough about our keeping of the Sabbath that he added an additional commandment to make sure that we are prepared to keep it and thus pass the test. The test then is not whether we know about the Sabbath, but how we keep it. To keep the Sabbath, we must prepare for it. Whether or not we will live by God's word depends upon our faith, because in reality, the test is of our faith. It tests whether we believe what God says. If we are dependent only upon our eyes, our senses, we are quite limited. There are things we cannot see or hear that are very important to God. By appearance, the Sabbath is no different from any other day of the week. This means everybody is confronted by a test of faith in keeping it, and preparing and preparation is a key to keeping it properly. So as we read and study here, we see that the important thing to keep the Sabbath there is preparing for the Sabbath. A lot of times we are trying to do things without preparation. You know, I remember going over to the mountain to fast and pray and seek God's face. And we were in the mountains in New Hampshire, Massachusetts, and all the men. And we were in the mountain without television, without radio. It was good food up there, though. Good food up in the mountains. And but God said to me, I was walking the trail, but, you know, because I'm scared of snakes, I kept looking all around, walking, making sure where I put my foot, that I didn't see something curl up, getting to strike me. And God said to me, he says, you must have preparation before you get revelation. And then he said, and after preparation, he says, I will give you revelation. And after revelation, I will give you clarification. I said, wow, that's powerful. I never heard nobody do it like that. So when it came back, we came back into me, I shared it with the men that were there. I shared it with the men that was at the conference. Man, the people started crying. All of us started weeping because God was saying something to us that we never really focused on, that we needed to prepare our spirit man to receive what he would give to us. And then when after he gave it to us, he would give us the clarity, you know, and how to release it to someone else. And here in this book that we're dealing with, when Jesus began to talk to the people, he would say that you have to be, your righteousness had to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees were so up about the Sabbath there and wanted the people to not do anything at all. Just stand still. Don't go out, don't walk, don't talk, don't do no way. They didn't want the people even to go to the temple. It was crazy because they were trying to put put a noose around the people's neck while they were free. They were doing what they wanted. Jesus was so smooth that every time they tried to trap Jesus would give them something that they couldn't deal with, you know? Because the man in the temple that we talked about earlier, he had a withered hand, you know? You could say he was partially crippled. And Jesus looked and saw him, and it was the Sabbath day. And Jesus saw him as the son of Abraham. So Jesus was willing and ready to heal him, which he did heal him. But the Pharisees began to say, well, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? So Jesus didn't even respond to that. Jesus said, if you had a sheep and the sheep fall into a pit, would you go and reach down and take him out the pit? They couldn't respond. They couldn't answer because they know they would. So Jesus said, isn't this man, well, then in this man, this son of Abraham, isn't he worth more than the sheep? They couldn't respond. And they still, from that moment, they were seeking to kill him. See, when you begin to teach and preach the love of Christ, folk will always come after you. Folk will seek to kill you. Now here in the book of Exodus, chapter 16 and 23, we were hitting through these books and going through talking about the Sabbath. And the word that we'll give you today, as you all know, I had to come back from Louisiana. We had a grand time over there, though. We had to come back there. A lot of things was going on. We had to come back here because my honey had to get surgery, and now she had to go because they find something, strange thing in her lower abdomen, intestines. So she had to have a test on next week or week after next. But we had to come back here because to take care. And God will please us. He's pleased. You know, sometimes we want to be somewhere, but sometimes things just fall up. And then I was so rushing to get back here, I leave my phone in the back of the lift. And the young lady that was playing, she said her uncle was a priest or something, and a pastor or something, played all this church music, and was giving her a tip, because even though Pastor Washington gave her a tip, I was giving a tip and got out the car and leave my phone on the back seat. Never got. They were trying to, Apostle Washington was trying to get them, and nobody responds. So I had to go get a phone. Because if I don't get a phone, I can't. Blog Talk really doesn't know Nancy's phone, you know, and I don't have her add the second thing up on the phone. So I had to go get a phone. I got a new phone, you know. But I had to pay a big deductible, but I got a new phone. But so we could come on this morning. But anyway, here in Exodus chapter 16, God gave this word to Moses in chapter 16, verse 23. He said, and he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and sieve that you will sieve, and that which remaineth overlay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now Moses told him, now everything that you would want to do for the Sabbath day, because the Sabbath day now begin at sundown on Friday. So Moses says, what have you got to do before the Sabbath get here? Start doing it now. Do it now. Because when the Sabbath fully begins, you are not working. You're not working. But the thing that was so important is that Jesus said that you can still do spiritual things on the Sabbath. As I was looking over this last night, you can still do things. In other words, if your brother was hurt, you can go lift him up on your shoulder and take him to get help. You can do things that are spiritually good to God. But going to do a job to make money, God does not want us to work on Sabbath. He does not want us to work on Saturday. Hallelujah. But we allow the Roman people, the Roman sect, to change the day, because Sunday is a day that they worship the sun god. And you know that they're devilish people. So they institute Sunday and cancel Saturday, which is God's day, for us to worship him. So see, they put us in bondage. So we're in bondage. We are disobeying God when we are worshiping on Sunday. We're disobeying God because God said rest on Sabbath, on the Sabbath day. It's in the book. Don't get mad with me. Get mad with God. He said so. He said, don't do no work. Only work you do is if someone is sick and they need you to drive them to the hospital, or they need you to bandage them up, or somebody's having a fire and you can go and help them to save their belongings and save lives, that is good to God. That is good to God. Hallelujah. But here, God has commanded that we do all heavy cooking, roasting, baking, boiling on the day before the Sabbath. The command to do this is clear. It is interesting to think about how frequently men think that what God says does not really apply to them, or that it does not matter. What they are doing is presuming to add or subtract from the word. In Exodus chapter 16 and verse 4, the text dealt with keeping the fourth commandment, the Sabbath. He wanted to see whether they would obey him. He then commanded them to prepare for it so that they could pass the test. See, if God gives you a test, God always shows you how to overcome. He always gives you the information how to overcome. When God tells you don't commit adultery, he gives you an opportunity to have a wife or a husband, so you wouldn't have to commit adultery. If God tells you don't steal, God always provides for you so you don't have to steal. But a lot of times we don't wait on God. We don't wait on God and say, well, I got to have it now, so I'm going to go break into somebody's car, house, or whatever, something, take somebody's stuff. I'm going to go sleep with that girl or sleep with that man because I just want to suffice my flesh. We can't wait on God till the husband comes. We can't wait on God till we find a wife. Exodus 16 begins. The miracle of the manna. Instructions were clearly given to Moses, which he in turn passed on to the children of Israel about what they were supposed to do on Friday. They were to gather twice as much on Friday because they were not to gather manna on the Sabbath. It's in the book of Exodus chapter 16. He said, this principle is still in effect. We should not say that we do not have the time to prepare. If we lack the time to prepare, something is wrong with our use of the other 6 days of the week. Maybe our habits of organization and priorities need to be changed. The preparation there for the Sabbath begins at sunset on Thursday. Since Friday is the preparation day, and the day begins at sunset, meals can be prepared ahead of time. So we start on Thursday. Even including leafy salads, if they are prepared properly with fresh ingredients, they will be nice and crisp on the Sabbath day, 24 hours later. God says to prepare because he does not want ordinary weekday work done on the Sabbath day. See, the Sabbath day is holy unto God. So we're not doing this for our pastor. We're not doing this for the bishop. We're not doing this for the apostle. We're not doing this for the prophet or the evangelist or the teacher. We're doing this for God because he said that the Sabbath day is holy unto him. He sanctified the Sabbath day for him, for himself. And then he gives us authority to say, well, the Sabbath day, man was not made for the Sabbath day, but Sabbath day is made for man. It was made so man and woman can recuperate. Energize. Hallelujah. Lay down and know that I don't have to do anything at all. Just read my Bible. Just study my Bible. Minister the word. It is good. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. We don't want to obey. And I think that all of these pastors and preachers need to take a stop. Just say no. All the congregation, we're going to make an adjustment right here. Well, this Sunday, we're not going to have church. But next Saturday, we're going to begin our service on Friday evening. And our main day is Saturday. We're going to have service. And just get back in line with God. Get back in agreement with God. Yes, you can. We minister 7 days a week here. But the key day is Saturday. Key day is Saturday. But what we're focusing on Sunday is the day we owe the order. Not with David Cadillac. We owe the order with God. According to this book. If we don't want to follow this book for the Sabbath, we need to put it down. All the preachers up there, they need to put it down. No matter how much word we preach on Sunday, we are not in agreement with God. No matter. We are in disobedience according to this book. We can't say one thing in the book and do something else. Got to get back. Get away from the Romans law and get connected with God's law. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Remember, this is what God said. Remember, in other words, don't forget. Make sure that you keep an eye on this day. Remember this thing. Don't let anything get in your mind, in your way, to cause you to go somewhere. You know, a lot of times, you know, this thing been dealing with me so bad for the last couple of months. I've been coming. I ministered on the Sabbath before. And I tell it been hitting me so hard. I mean, we know that we do here 7 days a week. But Saturday, we make sure we have some kind of ministry going on Saturday. But I'm always saying all the time, and I don't minister. Other people minister on Saturday. But I really enjoy. The word holy is fundamentally the same word used in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. Where God sanctified the seventh day, Sabbath. The only difference is that the parts of speech are different. It takes a holy God to make time holy. Man cannot sanctify time. Man cannot make time holy. God is the one, the holy God. You take someone that is holy to make a day holy. When we talk about holiness, we got to invoke the presence of God to sanctify that thing. Even when we are praying for someone, say, well, you're holy. Well, we ask the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God addresses us to touch that person and sanctify that person, because we're not holy to sanctify the person. Only God, the Holy God, that can sanctify that person. Hallelujah. So it takes a holy God to make holy time. He made no other time holy than his Sabbaths. Man can be made holy by God as well. But man cannot make something holy because he does not possess a holiness that can be passed on to anything. It takes a holy God to make something holy. That's any other day than what God has made holy. Even though billions of men may proclaim it to be holy time, cannot be holy time. It is utterly impossible. Sunday cannot be made holy. Sunday cannot be made holy. God only proclaimed one day holy, and that's the Sabbath day. Don't care what the man of God says or the woman of God says. No man can make Sunday holy or Tuesday holy. It's a good day. God says it's good. That's all he says. But the Sabbath day, God says it is holy. In other words, he sanctified that day. He set that particular day apart from all the other days. God did that. It's in the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Read your Bible for yourself. This means that the Sabbath is worthy of respect, deference, and even devotion that cannot be given to other periods of time. It is set apart for sacred use because it is derived directly from God, because of God's assignment of the word holy to the Sabbath. This day is changed into something special. The general trust of holy is different. The root word means to cut out, to separate from, or a cut above. The Sabbath is separate from other days, even though it is a part of the same cycle. It has been cut out apart from the other days. That is sanctified. It is a cut above other days because God made it holy. It is different. The Sabbath then is different from the common or ordinary days. The other 6 days are common, and they are given for the pursuit of the common and ordinary things of life. On the Sabbath, we should strive to avoid those mundane things that promote making the Sabbath into an ordinary day. The Sabbath is a day for special things, different things. The example of Moses. The burning bush illustrates what makes the day holy. It is not merely because of a proclamation by God. The burning bush provides a biblical example of how something becomes holy. Now, when Moses was there, the Lord spoke. There was ordinary ground until the presence of the Lord came. Now you understand how the place become holy. When the presence of the Lord enter the house become holy. The environment becomes holy when his presence is there. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called out to Moses from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses," he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now the Lord proclaimed the place holy. Why? Because his presence is there. Wherever God's presence is, it's holy. We cannot make it holy. We can jump, skip, shout, play the music, preach the music, that don't make it holy. God's presence has to be there. That's why we have to live in a way that would invoke God's presence. If we're living unseemly, sinful, God's presence is not coming. It's not coming. We got to go into repentance so that God's presence will come. Because he's not coming where people are sinning. When people are living a sinful lifestyle. I mean, we was in a hotel room. We had a couple rooms rented. People from different states were there. And the presence of the Lord came in so strong. We had people up top of us, people in the bottom of us, and they were calling the front desk because of the energy that was released in that place through the people of God. And the Spirit of God began to minister to us. I'll tell you, with something else. I don't believe speaking a word without crying, without weeping. That was so strong. Every time I open my mouth, I said, "Well, I can't understand what's happening." This has never happened to me before, ministering the word of God. Every time I open my mouth, I just broke down. Every time. Hallelujah. I would be still in Louisiana if I didn't have this stuff going on here in Boston. But you got to take care of your family. You can't take care God's business if you can't take care of your family. You got to take care of your home first. God wants you to take care of your home first, your family first. See, the Sabbath day is so powerful. And when you begin to, when we begin to worship and honor the Sabbath day, God begins to honor us. When Moses took off his sandals off his feet, everything changed. That's in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Moses began to change. Moses began to change now, because now he is in the holy place with God. Not only is he in the holy place, but his feet is on holy ground. You know, we sing that song, "We are standing on holy ground, and the angels all around." Well, when you get to that place that you know that, you know that, you know that the presence of God is there because you're living right, and God shows up and begins to touch you, what happens to you? You begin to change. Your words begin to change. Your actions begin to change because you realize that you had an encounter with God. You understand what I'm saying? I've experienced stuff in Louisiana while I was there. I tell you, some things was good and some things were bad. And the Holy Spirit says, it's time for you to move. Time for you to move. I went in a place, and I can't tell you everything on the line, but I told some things that were serious. And the Holy Spirit allowed me to see and feel some things that wasn't kosher. But here, I've got a lot of stuff written down here, so I'm going to get a little bit more. This is what makes the Sabbath holy, because God was present. I told you this. Moses had to treat the ground in a different way, with a respect and deference that one would not give to something common. Until God put himself in that area, the ground where Moses saw the burning bush was no different from all the other ground in the area. But as soon as God put his presence there, it became sacred, holy. In your home, when you are praying, when you are fasting and praying, and you begin to seek God with everything that's inside you, you know when that place become holy. You know when the place become holy because the presence, the very Spirit of God shows up. You probably can't see him, probably can't see him with your natural eyes or common eyes, but glory to God, you can feel him with your spirit. And you will begin crying. We begin crying and weeping and snorting everything. Getting out of control because why? You sense that something different is happening in the room. Well, at that particular moment, your bedroom, your living room, your kitchen, your bathroom, wherever you are talking, seeking God becomes holy because the presence of God comes in that place. You hear what I'm saying to you? Okay. Now, it becomes holy by means of a spiritual action. Holiness is not something that is physically discerned. Interesting to note in the context in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, that Moses was not aware that the ground was holy until God told him. So the Sabbath is a spiritual thing. Its holiness must be revealed to a person in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How do things become holy? Like time and areas of ground. They become holy because God puts his presence in them for the sake of his people and his spiritual creation. God's presence is in the Sabbath. We do not know how he did it. Somehow, he puts his presence into the weekly Sabbath and into his holy days, making them different to those whom he has revealed that those days consist of his holy time. So if you are spending time with God, you will know when the environment that you're in is holy. You will know when you are just in a place that is just motivational teaching or preaching, but his presence is not there. Because when his presence is there, the whole sanctuary becomes holy. Man cannot make it holy. Doesn't matter how well he preached, how well he played the guitar, played the drums, play the saxophone or trombone or whatever. He cannot make it holy. God himself, the Spirit of God has to come in that place and sanctify that place. And a lot of times what's happening where we don't experience the full holiness of God is because people are slipping and dipping and coming to church without repentance. Without repentance. Because they feel that God doesn't see. They know that the pastor or the bishop don't know because they're in a house somewhere, in a hotel room somewhere, motel somewhere, at some man house, some woman house, doing their nasty, slimy stuff. And they figure, well, God don't know what I'm doing. The pastor, the bishop don't know what I'm doing. But I just go to church and have me a good time in the Lord. And God's foot is not there because the people have not repented. They feel like God can't see and can't hear. Now, in verse 10, let's go to chapter 20, verse 8 to 11 of Exodus. Let's read there. We're talking about doing what Jesus says. That's the message. Doing what Jesus says. Jesus said we got to keep the Sabbath day holy. We do what we want to do. So he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers that are within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the Sabbath day. Wherefore the Lord blessed or made it holy, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it. So God has given us examples. If he is God, and we know he is, and he made all the days for us to enjoy, he gave us 6 days to do everything that we want to do. But the seventh day, he has required us to keep holy unto him. That's not a lot. He gave us 6 days. But we decide that we're going to listen to what the man over there in Rome says, and we're going to follow him. We disobey the one that keeps us alive, but we obey the man that over there in Rome. Verse 10 plainly states the Sabbath day is God's Sabbath day. The seventh day is God's Sabbath day. This passage also shows that although it is God's time, we still have responsibility to ensure that we observe it properly in verse 11. Verse 11 reiterates Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, that God himself set the Sabbath day apart. The context of the fourth commandment explains why he commands us to observe it. Notice Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Where do we keep the Sabbath holy? Where do we keep any of the commandments holy? Because God first acted to free us from spiritual Egypt. That is slavery to sin. Before God began working with us, we had no power over sin. We were slaves to it, just as the Israelites were literal slaves to the Egyptians. When we choose to follow God and his way of life, we no longer serve sin, but God. And God gives us everlasting life. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 22 and 23. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Since Jesus Christ paid the ransom for our lives, freeing us from the bondage of sin, we are now subject to the law of the kingdom of God, one of which is the Sabbath day, Sabbath. Now, we read already Exodus 20, verse 8, 11. No other day is hallowed as the Sabbath. In other words, no other day God made holy. You can go back and read from Genesis to Revelation. There's no other day in the book that God called holy. Every other day that he worked, he said it was good. It was good. But the seventh day that he rested, he called holy. He called it holy. Why? Because that day was holy unto him. He rested on that day. And he wants us as his children to honor his words. No other day is hallowed as the Sabbath day. It is set aside as holy to God. It belongs to him. It is time for him. Thus, the basic rule that the commandment lays down is that God requires that each person set aside this day for the worship and service of him. Nothing in it even begins to suggest that this commandment is merely ceremonial in nature. Protestants say Christians do not have to keep the Sabbath because it is just a ceremony. But they cannot find that idea scripture, certainly not in the commandments itself. Like the other commandments, the fourth commandment deals with relationship. One set of relationships. The business and work of their world ones is broken off or stopped on Friday at sunset. And another set of relationship, the spiritual ones, begin to be emphasized. In addition, the commandment looks back on creation, identifying that we are to keep the seventh day because God, the Creator, set it apart at creation. This verse tells us, verse 11 of chapter 20 of Exodus, it tells us why the Sabbath should be kept holy and as a day of rest. Note the opening word for and the later word therefore. It is to be kept holy and as a day of rest because these people were Israelites. No, it is to be kept holy and as a day of rest because God made it so for man at creation. Before Israel existed as a nation, Genesis chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Some say that it is possible that only the very first seventh day was blessed and hallowed by God. This very verse disproves that idea. This verse says that man is commanded to keep each seventh day holy because God rested on the first seventh day. And he blessed and sanctified that and all succeeded seventh day. It was still considered holy by the time the prophet Nehemiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and so on came on the scene. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 14. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 22. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 22 to 27. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Ezekiel 44 and 24. It's all in the Word. Now, Exodus chapter 31, verse 12 to 17. This thing is in this book because it's so important to God. It is all over this book because God wants us to get it right. God wants to bless us. When we rest it up, we are candidates to receive from God. Number one, this resting on the Sabbath day is a day that our body get to recuperate, strengthen, heal itself. We don't get enough rest. And God says, take a 24 hour from doing anything. Seek my faith. You can do spiritual work, like read your Bible, fast, prayer. Just seek God. Minister to somebody. That's good. But no, mind your labor, exerting yourself. He said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations. So we understand that it wasn't just the Sabbath day that God rested. The Sabbath day should go throughout all the generations. That you may know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Do you hear what the Lord said? Verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the Sabbath is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17 says, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Verse 18, we find on this verse. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, two tablets of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. God has written this, not the prophets, not Moses, not Isaiah, not Jeremiah, not Ezekiel. None of the prophets wrote this, not Nehemiah. God wrote this law. The Sabbath is a sign of who the true God is. The true God is the Creator. The Sabbath is a sign of God's people. The Sabbath belongs to God. He designs the time as holy, not Moses or any other man. The Sabbath sanctifies, it sets apart the man who keeps it by showing him to be distinct from the rest of the culture. The Sabbath breaking incurs the death penalties. Number 6, the Sabbath is a perpetual covenant. The old covenant was not a perpetual covenant. It has been replaced by the new. But the Sabbath covenant is separate and distinct from the old covenant given at Mount Sinai. Not only did the events in this passage take place 40 days after the proposal and acceptance of the old covenant, but God revealed the Sabbath to the children of Israel because they were in Egypt for so long they had forgotten. Right after they left Egypt and days before they arrived at Mount Sinai, the lesson of the manna was demonstrated the difference in the days of the week. Exodus 16 happened before the rest of the law was given via the old covenant. Even though the old covenant, that specific agreement, has passed away, That does not mean that the eternal code of conduct on which the agreement was based has passed away. Notice that adultery, and both sins still, and both still sin. Adultery and adultery are both still sin. And nobody considered those laws to be Jewish. Never yet, this was spoken to the people that God was working with at that time. Israel, part of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry was to fulfill the law and not to destroy it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. The rest of Matthew chapter 5 shows him magnifying various points of law to reveal the true intent behind them. Jesus Christ said in Mark 2 and 27 that the Sabbath was made for mankind, not just for physical Israel. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16 shows that the designation of Israel under the law covenant is now a designation of the church. And the Bible shows the New Testament church, Christ included, observing the Sabbath and not the first day of the week. Glory to God. And we look here at Exodus 31 and 13 to 17, we read. Consider where this covenant appears. It is in the book of Exodus. But after chapter 20, where God gives the commandments, from this, we see that God proposes a special covenant, which he places in the midst of all of the instructions for building the tabernacle. It means that even though these people were employed to construct such an important edifice for the worship of God, they were not to desecrate the Sabbath by working on it. Even the construction of the tabernacle had to be second place to the keeping of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a sign. It is not a mark. Bible uses shows that a sign is voluntarily accepted, whereas a mark is put on against a person's will. The Sabbath is a special sign. It is a special covenant between God and his people, who are his people. A sign can identify an occupation. One might read Joe Smith, dentist or plumber or electrician. A sign can also give purpose for a thing. It tells us why something is being used or done in the way that it is. A sign can be directions. This way to the river city. A sign can identify an occupation. One might read this or that. A sign also brings people together with shares, interests, and common purposes. Some fraternal organizations have special signs that they pass to one another to identify what lodge or organization it is that they belong to. A sign can unify. It can bring people together. A sign can be a pledge of mutual fidelity and commitment. Signs are used by organizations to designate membership. People wear a little badge on their lapel that says that they belong to such and such organization, and by it, membership recognize one another. This is part of the way the Sabbath is also used. The Sabbath serves as an external and visible bond that unites and sanctifies us, set apart from everyone else. Here is the United States and Canada. Almost everybody as who is religious keep Sunday, or nothing. If a person keeps the Sabbath, he is being cut away from, separated from, sanctified by the very fact that he is keeping it. Though these people do not realize it yet, it becomes a sign to them that he is in the process of being sanctified. We ought to be very, very much aware of this sign because we are keeping it. Everybody who has ever kept both Sunday and Saturday knows this. Sunday sets almost no one apart because everybody who is religious is already doing it. Big deal. What is so different about that? They are only sanctified from the people who keep no day at all. For those who are religious, it does not sanctify them because the Baptists are keeping the day, or the Catholics are keeping the day, as well as the Mormons, the Pentecostals, the Church of Christ, the Disciples of Christ, the Congregationalists. And those people are keeping Sunday, and it is not separating or sanctifying anybody. But once a person begins to keep the Sabbath, it immediately begins to sanctify him or her, to separate him from everyone else. God has a purpose that he is working out. He has made a tremendous investment in the creation and in the death of his son. The Sabbath is a mean by which he protects his investment. If the only reason he creates the Sabbath was because he needs rest, then any old time would do. Ultimately, how and why one keeps the Sabbath are the real sign. Other religious groups keep the Sabbath, but are they keeping it as God desires? Is it how and why we keep it that makes us different? They do the sanctifying. Sanctify them through your truth. Jesus says in John 17:17, God's word is truth. If people keep it and use it, they will be using the Sabbath for different purpose there than others. God created the Sabbath to educate his people in his way. It prepares them for the witness. Suppose that a basketball coach says to his players, come to the gym and meet with me at such and such a time. But some of the players decided that they will go to a different gym at a different time and with a different coach. Players on a team begin to take on the qualities and the philosophy of their coach. Anybody who is familiar with athletics understand this. Those who are intimately involved in athletics say that they can always tell whether a certain player has been coached by a certain coach. Say John Wooden or John Thompson. What has happened is the player has taken on the sign of the coach, and it has sanctified him from other players who are not coached by that particular coach. The same principle is at work with God and us. He is our coach. He has made an appointment with us to meet at a certain place at a certain time. And if we choose not to go to where he is going to be, then we are not going to begin to take on his image as our coach. The Sabbath was created because it both enhances and protects our relationship with God, and it provides the witness to God, to the individual, and to the world of who is keeping it. This is how it becomes the sign. It provides a witness. The Sabbath exists to keep us in a proper frame of mind and to provide us with the right material to negotiate the way to God's kingdom. We live in a grubby, grassing material world. Every day has a built-in bias towards material things. And it is very difficult to keep our minds focused on things that are spiritual. But the Sabbath, if a person is keeping it as God desires, will almost put a person into a spiritual mode, point him towards God, and force him to acknowledge him as creator. The Sabbath presents us with the opportunity to consider the whys of life, to get our head on straight with the right orientation so that we can properly use the other 6 days. The Sabbath is the kernel, the nucleus from which the proper worship or response to God's growth exists. But philosophers tell us that life is observed, that all of life is nothing but a prelude to death. But keeping the Sabbath is a celebration of life. It tells us that God's creative process is continuing, that he is creating us in his spiritual image so that we might live with him forever. For the great God, the Sabbath is a day of creation. The Sabbath ensures us that life is not absurd, but rather it is a prelude to life on an infinitely higher and greater level. The more we become like him, the more sanctified we are from the world. It is in experiencing the refreshing elevation of the mind that we get a tiny foretaste of what is to come. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word. Got a lot more to go. We thank you and praise you for this word, for you have given us. This word was for us to grow deeper in you, understanding the Sabbath, doing what Jesus says. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And as we understand this Sabbath and we make a design, when we do get churches, buildings, we're going to worship on Saturday, not Sunday. Saturday is going to be our main day. That's the day we're going to have church. Because we want to obey God. We want to honor God. If you don't honor God, we are honoring man. And if you're not honoring God, you are in disobedience to God. And the majority of churches in the United States and all over the world, majority of them, not all the churches, but the majority of them is worshiping on Sunday. And if you're not honoring the Sabbath, you are in disobedience. I don't care who you are. You can get mad with me or don't get mad. That's your prerogative. But this is what God says. We have to get back or get in line with his instructions. And his instructions for us to honor the Sabbath day because he made it. If you read the book of Genesis, every day that he created, every day he made, he said it was good. But only the Sabbath day he said it was holy. He said it was sanctified. It was set apart unto him. And then he wanted mankind to honor the Sabbath day. Because when you honor the Sabbath day, you're honoring God. We know people are teaching, well, if you worship on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as long as you're worshiping God, that's all that matters. That's not all that matters. God made it very clear in his word that he wants his children to worship him on the Sabbath. He wants us to rest. And the only work that we should be doing on the Sabbath, and I'm guilty of that too. So I got to make some adjustments. Don't care what money's coming. I have to say, well, I'll come to you on Sunday, or I'll come to you on Monday, or I'll come to you on Tuesday. But Saturday, I got to make sure that Saturday I'm somewhere teaching the word of God or somewhere hearing the word of God. Now, if somebody's house is burning, God says, it's okay. You are helping your brother, your sister, you know. If your brother's broken down on the street, you got to give them a push with a car. It's okay. That's good. You know, that's where they try to get him in the temple, where he healed the man that had the withered hand. And that was the first time they tried to get him. You know, once you make a decision, and we read here in the sermon, once you make a decision that you're going to honor the Sabbath day, and you're going to set that day apart to worship God, people are going to come against you. They're going to come against you. The Pharisees and the scribes, the priests, in the text in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 to 20, you see, they wouldn't bother too much with Jesus, but the moment he looked at that man with the withered hand and getting ready to heal him, they begin to question him. And then he put back, he didn't even answer the question. He just give them another, he give them a question. Instead of answering their question, he give them a question. You know, if you had a sheep or an ox, and they fall in a pit, wouldn't you go and get them out on the Sabbath day? Because that's your ox. That's your sheep. They couldn't answer. But they sought to find him in something that they might kill him. And people would do that. If you go to the church now and you tell your pastor, well, look, I know this is my church, but I've been convicted by God not to go to any building to worship on Sundays. You know, because Saturday is the day that God required for us to worship him, bow down, praise him. Man, they will come against you. You could be going to that church for 20 years and paying all your tithes and giving all your off. And once you decide to honor God, they're going to come against you. I don't care who you are. I guarantee you they're going to come against you. But who do you want to honor? Do you want to honor your bishop, your pastor, your apostle, or you want to honor God? Do you want to really see the blessings of God? Well, decide that you're going to honor. You're going to honor the Sabbath day, and I guarantee you're going to start to see blessings coming out like crazy. They're going to come in because now you have been awakened from your sleep. You have been awakened from that sleep, death sleep, and you have been woken to the life and the light of God to understand what God requires. I mean, when you go back and study this text from Genesis to Exodus, and you begin to study that, go to Leviticus all there too, and you begin to see this stuff, it will bless you. I laid up last night studying that. I got my new phone yesterday. I had to pay a lot of money, but no matter, I got a new phone. You know, Pastor, I got a new phone. You know, I'm waiting to get a case now. I ordered a case from Amazon. It'll come next week. I'm not going to take it out of the house because I don't want to break it. I got to get a screen protector. But, you know, I got to get that. I have to get that because I got to get my phone. Got to get this blog talk ready to go. You know, God will make a way. You can't beat God. See, I was talking to the lady and I forgot my phone in the lift. You know, and yet still they ain't trying to get back with the apostle, let them know that they got the phone. I know that they had to find that phone. You know. But it's turned off though. They go to some underhand people and get them turned back on. But, you know, we shut it down. So I got my stuff, a lot of stuff inside that phone. I got back some other stuff. Got some other stuff transferred through the system. But we thank God. We praise God for you all that come on today. I come back on next week. I'm going to do a part two of this because I got a lot of scripture on this. I mean, I got about 35 scriptures or so I written down last night. And I want to follow up on this and hit on that. And then after that, the Lord say the same. If I make it in next week, we want to talk about don't take God for granted. That's another sermon I want to work on next week. If it's the Lord's will for me to be still in the land of the living, we'll go there. We'll be thanking God for you all that got on today. I don't know, Bishop, I think I see you on there. So if you're available, you can come on in and do a prayer of salvation and we'll open the line. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this word that you've given us. And Lord, I ask you that even right now in this time, Lord, I ask for you to heal my wife. Lord, that when she go to get this test, that they wouldn't find no cancer in her colon. Lord, we just know that, God, that you are a healer. And we're believing the word that you say, God.
that if I call you would answer, that you would show me great and mighty things. And Father, this is what I want you to do. I'm expecting you to do, Lord. And I know you will do it for us, oh God. But God, you are a great God. We live to honor you. We live to worship you and praise you, oh God. We ask you to bless the airways that this word has gone to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And don't let it come back for it. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Bishop, if you can. And do a prayer of salvation. Then we'll open the line.
Good day to everyone. Thank you, Apostle. Hallelujah. Now, anyone who has not accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I urge you to do so today. But we do not know when our soul will be required by the Lord. And if you're not saved, you will spend eternity in hell if you're not saved. So, you see, God knew that we were all sinners. And we're only made of dust. So he sent Jesus, his only begotten Son, as it says in the book of John, chapter 3. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him shall be saved. And it's God's promise to us. So we have to give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the only way. No matter what is preached all over the world, there are several different ways to enter into the kingdom of heaven. God's word never changes. And God's word says, whoever believes in him shall be saved. Hallelujah. But you must confess it. And the book of Romans, the 3, verse 23, it says, but we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. But through Jesus Christ, the Lord has sent him to save us all. And in the book of Romans, in chapter 6, and verse 23, it says, the wages of sin is death. And we don't want to cross over and face eternal death. Hallelujah. So, in the book of Romans also, at chapter 10, and beginning at verse 8, it says, but what does it say? It says, the word is with you. The word is in you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. And in verse 9, confession is made. And it says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. And you must repent. You must repent. This confession and say, I'm a sinner. Let this come into my heart. Save me. Just ask God to save you. And God's promises are true and faithful. If you believe that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Because he is the only way, hallelujah, the only way into the kingdom of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've made this confession, you must repent. And repentance is not returning to your past ways of living. You have a new slate. You're clean. You have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you've backslidden and you rededicated your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal salvation. Okay. You must not go back. You must repent, though. Repent and do not go back to your former ways of living. Hallelujah. Now, if you have never been baptized, as we baptize, we do go in the book of Acts. We are baptized as the apostles did. And Apostle Peter said to the crowd, repent in every one of you and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. For the remission of sin. And shall be saved. And If you have never been baptized, you should ask whoever baptized you to baptize you in this manner, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is written in the book of in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, nor is there any other name among men under heaven. There is no other name given to men under heaven that you should be baptized. No other name, only Jesus Christ. So invite people to your baptism, and by doing so, you may encourage someone to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if they do so, that soul will be accounted to you for just mentioning, that you may receive Jesus as your Savior. Just mentioning to them to come to your baptism. Hallelujah. From friends, family, co-workers, enemies, and old neighbors, strangers on the street, invite them. But they may receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And you'll be blessed tremendously for encouraging someone to receive him as your Lord and Savior. Now, I welcome you to the family of God. If you have a Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you where he wants you to read in that Bible, and read a scripture daily, at least one scripture, and ponder on that scripture daily. By doing so, the Holy Spirit will enlighten you and teach you on what you need to know and what he's telling us in the scriptures. So God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to the family of God. And Apostle, it's back to you, sir. No. Apostle? Yes.
I hear you, Bishop. Thank you so much. I was walking away from the phone from me, talking to my baby there going up. Thank you so much for that prayer of salvation. And I'm going to open a line. If anyone want to add, you can come on in. We know we've been off for a while, but we are back here, and the line is open. Anybody want to respond, you can. Line is open.
Good morning, Apostle. Thank God for you this morning.
Good morning,
Apostle. Thank God for your wife this morning. I just heard you say you had the emergency to go back home. So I just thank God for your wife this morning. We're praying for her here. I did call Pastor Ben just when you made that announcement, let them know that you won't be coming. Because I've been waiting to hear from you, so I just got off the phone with him as well. But thank God for the word of God today, by the name of Jesus. Because there's a lot of times when, even in my life, I know for a fact in my life alone that there have been times when I just felt like I wasn't living up to what everything that God required of me. You know, trying to live a holy life and trying to live a sinful life just don't mix. It does not mix. You're either going to be holy or you're going to be a sinner. So it's no either or. I mean, it's no mixing, no in between. It's either holiness or nothing at all. So I just thank God for the word of God this morning in the mighty name of Jesus so that we'll know who we are and whose we are, because you got to stay holy. You just can't, like you said, keep slipping and dipping and think everything is going to be right. You got to stay holy. So I'm thankful for the word of God this morning. I just pray that you continue to deliver the word I pray for your life, your family's life in the mighty name of Jesus, and that we stay strong in Christ Jesus and know that the atmosphere that we breathe. I really loved when you expressed on that. You know, we got to know even the air that we breathe is holy, you know, when we're saying something, because we say, great is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We got to know who we are, whose we are. So, and I'm just thankful for the word of God this morning. Thank you so very much in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you so much, daughter. We just bless God for you. We're going to get a chance to come to Pastor Bender. You know, Lord, working up some things. But we're coming back in, hopefully, I hope and pray that the Lord work it out for before the fall, that I'll be back inside, you know. A lot of things transpired that I can't really say and would not say on the line. But also we had things that we are dealing with here with my wife, you know, and we're praying that all will be well. As a matter of fact, I believe all is already well, because God said, when I call, he answered. You know, so I truly believe that's all well. She's going to have an appointment next week, I believe, to have a test done, because they saw something. But they can talk what they feel like. You know, I'm not going to agree with that stuff. I said, well, we'll see when we get there. Because while they talk, they see some. God has already worked it out. You know, he already worked it out. So she had one surgery on her eye, which is doing real good. And now this last thing that we got to deal with. But I am here. You know, so I'm glad the decision that we made too, because her mother and her sister was going bananas. But when they hear I was back in town, there was the atmosphere changed. You know. But we are here. And God is working out that situation for us. So the line is open. Thank you so much, Yvonne. Line is open.
Thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the Sabbath. Thank God for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The one that we worship. Hallelujah. We thank God for him. And for the teaching today, Apostle. I kind of woke up late and I said, well, I believe somebody's preaching today on Blog Talk, so I didn't hear the whole message, but I know about the message of the Sabbath. I don't know if my phone is acting up, if you can hear me, Apostle, I don't know. Sometimes it does. But anyway, thank God for you all. Praise the Lord for everybody on the line. Hallelujah. Thank God for you, Apostle, and the teaching on the Sabbath, which I believe is an on-time word, because we need to honor God in every way. And one of the best ways to honor him is to rest in him. When you rest in God, Apostle, we are honoring the Sabbath as well. But there is a day set aside. God set aside that day. And God didn't say that we could change it. God's word don't change. It always will remain the same. You know, they say the same thing about, well, it's the Old Testament. We don't have to tithe. Yes, we do still have to tithe because God said so. He didn't release us from tithing. He didn't release us from honoring the Sabbath. And my husband and I have been honoring the Sabbath for some years now because the Holy Spirit revealed to me that we're not excused from it because God didn't change it. God's word does not change. It is what it is. It's going to remain what it is. And we can't change it to fit our convenience or to fit our mindset. If our mind is not stayed on God and our minds are someplace else, we can't change the word because our mind is not on God and our mind is someplace else. in the world. You mentioned sanctified. If we're not sanctified, if we have not been sanctified and set apart by the blood of Jesus and living a sanctified life set apart from the world, then we are not going to even think about doing the Sabbath, because we have our thoughts on how we feel it's supposed to be done. Oh, that's the Old Testament. The Old Testament is God. The New Testament is God. All of the Word is God. It doesn't change because it goes from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So we have to honor God all the way and in all the ways that he says to honor him. Amen. And I got that strictly from the Holy Ghost, because there was a time that when I read the scripture where Jesus said that he is the Sabbath, you know, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And he said that. So he's the Lord of the Sabbath. So he's saying, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen. He's saying that. And when he decided to heal the man with the withered hand, that's still doing the work of the Lord, the work of the Sabbath, the work of the Lord. He said that in his word. So I didn't hear you teach the whole word, but we know if we are into God, if we are into the word, if we are really studying the word, if we are really, really believe that the Holy Spirit is all over the word, then we would honor the Sabbath. But it has to come, that revelation comes from God. And when we get it from God, we believe it. You know, we believe it. We don't believe what man says unless he's saying what God says. Then we can believe it. Amen. So I'm happy about that you brought that about, because we need to be about God and about the whole word, not just pick out what we want to do and leave out what we don't want to do. That's not it. That's not it at all. So we still should be tithing. We still should be honoring the Sabbath. Hallelujah. And honoring the things that God has set aside to honor him. Amen. Glory be to God. I'm glad you brought that up, because we need to start anew. We need to start anew. We need to be about all of God's business, not just about some of his business, but all about what he said to do. Amen. So amen. I thank God for you. I thank God for, even though that you can't, you know, things happen and things that you couldn't discuss, things that I know about because we were all together this week. But I thank God that you still came on the line, even though some stuff is happening. That's another thing that we must do, is still honor God, even though things are not going just the way we want them to go. Or if we're going through something, we still must be about the Father's business. Hallelujah. We still must do what God said to do. So I thank God that you were on. I didn't even know if you were. I knew you were. I told my husband today, I'm sure somebody's on Black Talk today, because Apostle's back in town. And when we were all together, the Lord had us not to do Black Talk, and we probably talked a little bit about that because we were having church there. We were fellowshipping there. Amen. So, and I had heard the same thing. Let's just fellowship here, and we would not get on Black Talk. But we were still doing the will of the Father, because you came to do the work, and we all did the work. Amen. We all were there. Hallelujah, to do what it was that God has had us to do, what he has spoken into our hearts to do. And so praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the Sabbath, for the Lord Jesus Christ, as we honor him. And when he says to rest, we rest in him. We rest in everything that he is teaching us to do. We rest in the word himself. No matter what's going on, we rest. We rest physically, but we also rest spiritually. How can we rest spiritually? When we give everything to God, we're resting. We give it all to God. We're doing our part, but we're resting on the fact that God is going to do his part. We do our part by honoring him, praising him, giving him our all in all. That's our part. Walking by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. Praying fervently unto the Lord, doing all the things the Lord said. We're resting in him. Because we trust when we do, everything he says to do, we can rest in the fact that he is going to take care of everything concerning our lives. That's really resting in Jesus Christ. That's really saying, God, I know you got me. I know you got all of my concerns. Amen? And that's what I hear about the Sabbath. God's got it all taken care of. Amen? Because he is who he is, and he's going to do what he said he'll do. So we have that blessed assurance that God is always on our side. We're resting, always with you. On the left, on the right, going before me, he's behind me, he's always there. And he is called Emmanuel, God with us, Jehovah Shammah. He is there. Hallelujah. We don't need any more than that. We got everything with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so I wish I had heard all the word, but I was asleep. And I woke up, I said, oh, my goodness, I got to call Balak Talk. Amen. I don't know if you were on yesterday. I didn't even check yesterday. God forbid.
No, we didn't get on yesterday, Apostle, because we was waiting to see if them people were going to get back in touch with you to see what to do. And then after they didn't get back in touch with you, I said, well, I said, we've been paying for the insurance on all our phones for years. We never really filed a claim. But we only had to pay like $250. And they brought me a brand new, they was going to give me a refurbished. I didn't want no refurbished phone. So they brought me a brand new, the same phone that I had. Brand new, spanking brand new. And the man come, bring straight to the house. I didn't have to call Verizon. The man came to the house, young man, and he said, we're going to come and we're going to set up your phone for you. You don't have to call Verizon. We come straight and set the phone, have set up everything up, you know.
Amen.
And I mean, the only thing I don't have a case for it to protect it. So I went on Amazon and ordered a case. It's going to come next week. But, you know, sometime Amazon tell 4 or 5 days, but it come quicker. I hope that it come quicker because they usually, they give themselves time for when they come short, but we hoping that it come. But that's why we couldn't get on yet. We come on today. Came on. And we are excited. We're excited, you know. This word
Amen.
That he gave me. Then with the next message that I got sometime next week, if the Lord allowed me to release, we're going to talk about one of those second part of this, and then the second or third part, I don't know. And then we want to bring in, I want to talk about when men take God for granted. That's the next message. When men take God for granted. And we're going to talk a lot. It's a lot of stuff in there we want to talk about. You know, what we give to God and what we don't give
mm-hmm.
to God, you know. And
Amen.
That's what the message is going to basically about, because I was looking at that
mm-hmm.
stuff, and it's so powerful.
Amen.
This message, he gave me that last night. I started writing a lot of stuff down. And God is really calling for us, for the church, to really get back in order. Because church out of order. I don't care how big the buildings are. I don't care how much people they got in that building. God is not on it. Because if we honor 8 commandments and we skip 2, we out of order. Understand?
That's right.
You got to honor all the commandments. You got to honor all.
You got to do it all.
All.
That's right.
You know?
Amen.
And as I was reading that, the Bible said we know Jesus is God. We know God is Jesus. So we know the Bible said that he made every time he worked and he finished a day, he said it was good. But the only day that he honored and blessed was the Sabbath day. He made it holy. All the other days he said was good. He was pleased with what he did that day. Oh, yeah, I like that day. But on the Sabbath day, the seventh day, hallowed it. He made
Amen.
It holy unto himself. And he set
he
the
did.
Order that men would honor this day unto him. Men would rest. Mankind would rest and honor him, you know. Only thing that mankind was supposed to do. Now, if I come by your house or you come by my house and it was the Sabbath day and my wife was sick or my son was sick and you knew exactly what to do to put on a bandage and stuff, God does not consider that working. He considered that a good thing. You know, it's not, he don't consider it working. He, as I was reading the book, it's like you was doing a spiritual job.
So he considered that. But for us to leave and go out and do some work on the Sabbath day, God considered that disobedience. He said you should be able to do everything that you need to do in 6 days to make money, to take care of your family. After that, the seventh day is worship, praise and worship to him. That's what he said. And the church got to get back there. If not, I'm telling you, Lord, these feelings that people are worshiping and go to hell for disobedience. Believe what I'm telling you. Because no disobedience can enter into heaven. You understand? The only thing can enter into heaven is obedience. Obedience. And God stretched that all through the book. All through the book. And that's, like I said in the message, that the only time that you experience holiness is when the presence of God comes. Man cannot make nothing holy. Man cannot make anything holy, only God. Only one that possess that holiness in them can make holy, and that's God. He's the only one that possesses. God make the day holy. That day, the Sabbath day, holy. It's not like the other days. The other days are common days. But that's the day he set apart. Not only for himself, but also for man, for mankind. Because he said it was made for mankind, not mankind for that day, but it was made for mankind, for also for God and for man. So why wouldn't we want to keep that day holy? Because we're going to get blessed. We're going to be blessed by that. God's going to elevate us spiritually into him. I talked about the burning bush. Moses did not, where Moses was not holy till God showed up. When God showed up, the ground becomes holy. The ground become holy. Moses didn't know. God had to tell him. God told him, take off the sandals from off your feet, for where you stand is holy ground. What make it holy? The presence of the Lord. So the ground is not holy. The sanctuary is not holy till God is there. People can jump up and jump down and say, well, this is God's house. But it's not sanctified, man. Man can say, well, because it sounds good saying it's God's house, it's God's house, it's God's house. Oh, this is God's house. It sounds good saying that. But it's not that he gets there. But he's present. That's why we ought to be talking about repentance in the house. Preach about repentance and sin and against sin so people can get to a place where God can make them holy. God can create in them a clean heart and renew a right spirit in all of us. But most preachers don't want to talk against sin. They talk a lot of prosperity messages. Oh, God going to bless you this and bless you that. What does sense having all this blessing and going to hell? You know, what does sense having all these new cars and new homes and new dresses, new suits and all this stuff and going to hell? People, pastors got to get back to preaching against sin. We don't want to offend nobody. When you don't offend them, you're going to get charged with their blood. Because you know the truth, and that's the trumpet is sounding. The alarm is sounding against sin, but we wouldn't talk against sin. You understand what I'm saying? We wouldn't talk against sin. I'm not talking about you Block Talk family. But most of them are not talking against sin because they don't want to hurt nobody. They don't want to hurt nobody. What did Jesus do when he forgave that woman her sin? Man, he said, go now and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Because if you sin, it's going to be worse than the first time. So we have to talk about it so people can be convicted. They get mad at me. Let them get mad at me. They get mad at you. Let them get mad at you. But guess what? Once they hear the truth going to cut. You know, people get mad with you, but when they're going on the road driving, they say, man, that word, man, that word that woman preached about, that word that man preached about, man, it really cut me up on the inside. You ain't got to do nothing to them. Just give them the truth. The truth will do all the work. Leave them alone. Let them get mad for you. And when they get on the highway, that word will begin to cut. It's going to burn them like salt on a cut. You know? Like they put salt or vinegar on a cut. And when that begins to burn them, they realize that you tell them the truth, that you care for them. Now, you didn't tell them because you want to hurt them. You tell them because you want them to get saved. You want them to get right with God. You know? I always say that all the time. I rather you tell me the truth, and I do something, take the initiative to walk right so I can be with God, and
then you let me go on messing up. Messing up and end up in hell. Apostle, I got two calls yesterday. I got two inbox messages yesterday. Not calls, inbox.
Maybe
Father God. Two inbox yesterday.
Long
messages on my phone. You got some too?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't answer
it because I knew what it was about and I didn't answer it. But I will have a conversation, but I tell you what, it won't be about those things. And if it's a...
I got a lot. I didn't get the call because I ain't had no phone. So it called, they leave me message on the computer, on the messenger. Long message. And I'm going to send you some money to help you get your phone. And I asked for no money.
And
I asked for no money because I know that I was going to get a phone one way or another. And the phone get back to me or don't get back to me.
God answers prayers. Amen. God answers prayers. We were praying. I was talking with Millie, Apostle Millie last night and Evangelist Lula. And we prayed and she spoke a word about that. Amen. And God has worked it out. I told him, I said, God's going to work that out and it's not going to cost Apostle a whole lot of money. I said, God, and the other one said, well, I believe somebody's going to mail his old phone back. So, because God is on the scene. God is working things out. So we talked about it. We had a long talk. They're home safe, and we just had a long talk yesterday. And knowing that God was going to work it out, amen, that's another way of resting in God, which is what I just said.
Yeah.
It's resting in God. It's honoring God when we decide that we're going to allow God to take control, allow God to do what it is he said he'll do for us. That's resting in God. That's honoring Jesus, the Sabbath himself. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. When we do
the work of the Father, we're honoring the Sabbath.
And people have to get that understanding, you know, and even taking care of our responsibilities. Some people feel guilty because I got to work on Sunday. The will of the Father is for you to keep your job. Amen. But also, you know, because Pastor had a problem with that. He was feeling guilty about working that Sunday. And he talked to the pastor. He said, look, God wants you to take care of your family. And until it could be worked out, until you don't have to work on that day, then you got to go to work and take care of your family. Well, you're going to tell your supervisor, no, I'm not doing that. And be insubordinate, lose your job, and can't bring no bread to the table. God doesn't want you to do that. But he does want you to be mindful of the fact that if, Lord, work it out, God, I prayed about it, and I got that day off. I prayed about it. I said, God, you know I don't want to work on the Sabbath. You know I don't want to come on this job on the Sabbath. God, I need you to work it out for me. And he did. And I didn't have to do it. And then Bishop ended up not working on the Sabbath. You see, because God works it out according to the desire of our heart. When our desire is to live for him, to honor him, to worship him, live for him, he's going to work it out according to his will. And we prayed his will. God, we know you said that we should honor the Sabbath. And, you know, the world does not honor God, period, period. Not just on the Sabbath, but no day. There's no such thing in the world as honoring God. So the world don't care about your worship to God. They don't care. You know, the supervisors don't really care, and some of them do. So God will work it out no matter what rules or policies they have. God will work it out for you to get another job where you won't have to work the Sabbath. But he's going to move that problem out your way. That's what God does when you honor the Sabbath himself, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the Lord of the Sabbath, he said. You know, so praise God for this message, and I pray that people got it and that people understand that we must honor. We must still tithe. We must still give ourselves as a holy sacrifice unto God, no matter what day it is, 7 days a week. We got to give our honor to God every day. Every day. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus.
So I thank God for this word. I thank God because it needed to be. It's on time because we need to get back, like you said, in order. Lining up with the word of God. Every area of our life must honor up with the word of God. If we're going to really serve him and walk holy, it needs to line up with all of the word, not just some of the word.
Mm.
So God is getting us
ready.
Getting us ready. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's going to be a great worldwide revival. Truly a revival. Not just the ones that they play. They play at. You know, it's an act. It's not real.
Yeah.
But some are doing the real. Some are doing the real.
That's right.
Not everybody is following the devil. We have brothers and sisters that are sacrificing for God around this world. We have brothers and sisters who are part of the remnant. And we are all out for God. We are all in. Amen. Glory to God. So we thank God. We thank God for the glorious time that we had this week that he allowed us to be together. Hallelujah. And God did a wonderful, marvelous, miraculous work while you were here. And we were all on one accord. And the anointing was just flowing. The anointing was just strong. Hallelujah. And Jeffrey Lee called me yesterday. Prophetess called. And she's just so elated. She said, but you know what? What Apostle said, it already started. It already started.
Wow.
A family member came against her, one who had never came against her before, came against her.
Wow.
And I told her before I left, I said, listen, we got to pray now because the enemy is angry and we got to really be on guard. Don't
That's
stay
right.
on the watch. Don't. No, because you see, God did these things, but the enemy is angry. I said, so be very, very careful. Be careful. And he's angry. Yesterday, my son-in-law's car wouldn't start. Had to leave it on the job. A daughter had to go all the way miles and miles to get her husband. Well, somebody brought him home, thank God, because the drive to his work is an hour, right about an hour.
Mm.
But he had to go. Now, they may have to get another car, but God is on the scene. God is going to work it out.
Yeah.
The enemy is angry. And we said because of what we were doing, he was going to come and try to do some damage and do some harm. But no matter
That's right.
He try to do, it won't work because the word tells us no weapon formed. No weapon formed. It didn't say we wouldn't have no weapon that's going to come at us. But no weapon formed is going to prosper. It's not going to work. It's not going to work because God has made a way already for the transportation, made a way for you to get your phone, even when it was, you know, you lost it, but God had already worked it out. You know, I mean, everything
that's right.
Up. And then when I came home, you know, it just was something else, but, you know, it's just everything was out of a mess. But it doesn't matter because God has already worked it out for us. No matter how it looks, God is still with us. Amen? He's with us no
Amen.
Matter what. So I didn't know what I'd have to face when I get here. I didn't know. But one thing I did know that Jesus was walking in with me. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Walking with us. Wherever we go, he's with me. And I didn't fuss. I was calm because, see, God don't want us complaining. Don't complain.
Mm-hmm.
Just do. Take care of God's blessings that he give us. No matter what nobody does, we got to do it. My grandmother taught us that. Look, Grandma, why you keep telling me to do it? Why I got to be the one to go to the store? Why I got to be the one to clean up? Because you the
Hallelujah.
One that know how to do it. You know how to do it, and I trust you're going to do it right. But we felt like it wasn't fair. That's not fair. When God had me to clean the bathroom at Walmart and wipe all the floor up after it had urine all over and I was complaining, it wasn't fair. I felt it wasn't fair. But God said, you know better, and you don't want somebody else to come
yeah.
in this bathroom and wet their pants. I had to go buy some more pants, put the pants on, change my pants, but God had me to clean that up. This is where
yeah.
you work and you're complaining, You put your stuff got soiled, but we don't want it to happen to somebody else. That's what God is showing me. It's a mess, but you clean it up. So when I get here, it's a mess, I clean. It's my house. It's what God gave me. It's my blessing. It's our blessing. God is not saying, oh, this one could do it, that one can do it. You know to do it. If you know to do good, do it. Whatever you know to do, that's right, you do it. That's honoring God. That's honoring God. Now ask God to work some things out so this don't keep happening. Oh, God, I need you to work it out. I need you to fix it, God. I need you to do this. Just give it to God. Give it to him. But I always say, God, you blessed us with everything we need. You gave us these blessings. So we have to not take advantage, like you were saying. We want to take advantage of God. We don't understand. We're taking advantage of grace. Taking advantage of it is one thing. But to misuse it, to abuse it, that's something else. Taking it for granted, that's something else. So thank God that you even mentioned that. Praise God. All is well, Apostle. All is well.
But, I'm going to call you later. I'm going to call you later because I got to lay this thing on you, bro. I'm telling you something. People are so messed, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I thank God that we was on the same page. You know, because I want to go see Pastor Ben. I really want to see Pastor Ben. But coming back home and taking care of her, I mean, she even risked herself driving. I said, why are you driving a car? I couldn't pay a cab and come home. You know, she said, no, it would have cost too much money. I said, well, I didn't mind. Because, you know, but she had the surgery and all that stuff coming out of her eye, you know. And doctor said, that's good because all the stuff coming out from where they did the thing. Surgery had to go inside underneath her lesion and go in that thing. And then when they did a test on her, you know, she came home and then that everything is going on. She's doing all this heat, all this heart thing she's going up, putting on her face. And it's going down pretty good. But then they run a test. She come home and then she's having this severe pain a day after. I mean, Apostle was something else, man. A woman couldn't sleep.
Yes, you know? Lord. I know about that pain in the eye.
I mean, not from the surgery. She having this this severe pain in the bottom of her intestines.
So they did a
test on her and found out that her colon is enlarged like crazy. But they can't tell what's going on. So she had to make an appointment with her doctor. So I'm going to have to drive her next week. And they're going to set up a colonoscopy. So then it's because, you know, in her family, both sides is cancer. You know what I'm saying? On both sides of the family. But I said, no, the devil's a liar. You ain't going to take my wife. Just let me take that stuff back to hell. Take it back to hell with you because you're not getting her.
Take it back to hell.
So, we are believing
God
that
do
when you do the test, they ain't going to find nothing. You know.
Amen.
It's gonna be gone. And if there's something there, it'll be cutting it out. It'll be taking it out now. Before it becomes cancerous. But we thanking God.
That's
we
right.
praising God. You know, we praising
Amen.
God. You know, because I always tell the Lord, we're gonna grow old together. I told the Lord that we're gonna grow old together. Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ.
And be in our right mind. And be in our
Your
right
will
mind.
Be done.
You know,
I thank
God.
Yeah, Bishop said he's coming to
good.
Your 100th birthday party.
Hallelujah.
He's going to be there for your 100th birthday party.
We're going to have a good time. Good time.
We're going to have a good time. Amen. And we're going to stay. We're going to be in our right mind. Glory be to God. We're going to be like Moses. Moses walked to his grave. He walked to the grave. God called him and said, I'm going to bury. He said, I'm going to bury Moses. And Moses went up to that mountain. He walked.
That's
Moses
right.
Was not sick. Moses had all his faculties. Moses was not sick at all when God called him home. And he walked
That's
up.
That's right. He was healthy.
To this day, nobody
he
knows that God buried Moses. He was healthy.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, there was a
God was God was
everybody.
Moses on the ticker.
That's
you know.
Right. He was.
He's the only
he
one. God was his on the ticker.
Nobody else was going to touch his. Amen. Nobody else was going to touch his servant. And God buried Moses. Until this day, they don't know where he's buried. They're not going to know. They're not going to know. And the people were mourning. The people were crying and all of that. But God said it was time. It was time. He brought his servant up to rest. See, there's another rest. People look at death as something bad. But when you die, you are at rest in God. You're resting in him here, but even the more rest when you leave here, because you don't have the cares of this world anymore. And people don't look at that in that way and rejoice. We're supposed to rejoice when people die. You rejoice.
That's right.
Their spirit is at rest.
That's right.
It's at rest in Jesus. And we're not supposed to be mourning, but we cry because we miss them. We cry because we love them, you know. But at the time, we ought to be rejoicing when we know that soul is with God. That's why it's so important
that
we do the work of the Father. We want people to see the Lord. We want them to get to heaven. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about. That's why he came, so that we would not remain lost. Glory to your name, Jesus. So that rest, Moses is resting. He's resting in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what death is all about. We're resting, waiting on the Lord now to call his people up out of the grave, up out of their sleep. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. We can rest in you. Yeah. He's going to call the dead in Christ is going to rise. Amen. So glory to God. We thank God for resting. For the Sabbath, for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Apostle. Amen.
So we'll talk later. Like I said, I got some phone calls too, but I can promise you one thing. I'm not going to discuss that.
Yeah.
We'll talk later. Millie and I and Apostle Millie and I, we talk later.
Okay.
Well,
I'll talk to you all later. Bishop, come on in and close us out. We got some people online, but they're probably not going to share. So let's, Bishop, come and close us out. We'll talk later.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop.
You didn't plug that phone in again, Bishop.
No, but it's about to get off.
Yeah, because it's about to shut down. We got that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Father God, bless everyone who's on this Block Talk Radio line. Bless them, their families, their neighborhood. Oh, Heavenly Father, keep us, Father God. To God be all the glory, honor, and praise this life that we live. Oh, God, may the love of God sustain us. May the direction of God direct us. Hallelujah. Oh, may the will of God, the protection of God protect us. Keep us. While we are apart, one from another, Lord, thank you for your many blessings, and we look forward to seeing each other once again at a later time. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus that everybody who's faithful, Block Talk Radio listeners, our church on the Block Talk Radio, that one day we'll all be together in an assembly somewhere on this earth before we cross over, and we'll all be together and speak with each other face to face and pray with each other in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. We'll call you guys later. We'll talk later. Oh, you've been talking to me later. We'll talk later. We love you guys so much, and thank you so much for a wonderful little time we had to get in the Lord. I had to share with somebody yesterday, talk to my wife. I was telling my wife how powerful the Spirit of the Lord moved, and it was just a wonderful time. You know, little mishaps, but that's the phone is nothing, because we got a brand new phone. You know, but we'll talk to you all later. And I pray that all goes well for the next trip before this year closes out, that everything will be in place for us to make our return trip. Okay?
Hallelujah.
God bless and thank you so much, Evangelist. Please tell Pastor Ben I'm so sorry, but I'll be coming soon. Soon. because God already got it in the workings. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to take care of this thing. I'm going to take care of this thing, my wife, and after that, we're going to get ready to head up. Once you get healed and things fall in place, we're going to get ready to head up, because that's what the Lord is saying. This time we'll have everything the way it's supposed to be. All right. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Tell somebody that God loved them. You love them. But remember, Jesus is the only way. I love you very much, but God loves you more. God loves you more. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See you all tomorrow afternoon. I believe Evangelist Campbell is bringing the word tomorrow afternoon. I believe so.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I don't know how I'm going to get this phone. Look, man, this.